Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 48 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Panama, Belgium, Norway, Sweden, all across Europe, and even Russia. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here is where you'll hear stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight the transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use these to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. However, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, these are the days reserved for book launches, product launches, or we highlight someone who is doing something incredible in the world. These are my special pop-up episodes, so welcome to this amazing episode. To not miss any episode whatsoever, join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can also subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Player FM, TuneIn, and the Google Play Music app. You can also subscribe right here on Blog Talk Radio. Go ahead and follow, click the button. You can also rate and review the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Wherever you're comfortable leaving us a review, let us know how we're doing and how you have enjoyed these episodes. On the show are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them, and my guest today does exactly that. Please help me welcome to the show, Tudor Alexander. What's up, my friend?
What up, man? Super stoked for this interview.
Dude, I am super pumped to have you on the show, man.
Yeah.
We had a great conversation. Right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
I am so excited. You got some awesome things to talk about, so totally on the same path.
Freaking cool, man. So, everybody listening right now, if you have any questions for the guests, you can call in 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. If you are listening to us live, you can actually call into the show and talk to the guests. I don't know any other podcast that's doing that, but this is how this happens. So, dude, I got to ask you, man, you're doing some amazing, incredible things. And the one thing that I really hit on was transformation. Like you have a show, The Seven Transformations, man. Like why transformation?
That's a good question, man. You know, it's actually the result of years and years of a life path that started when I was 18. I mean, I wanted to go and be like, teacher, you know, going to college, and talk about transformation. After, like, I literally had one credit to take, and I took a dance class because the counselor at the time, they were telling us, you know, okay, do some dancing, it'll be fine. I'll check it out. I'll get an easy grade, some girls, whatever. And after like a semester of taking class, like three times a week, we had to go dancing, and I went out dancing to get a proof of, you know, that I. Like our final exam. So I asked her to dance with me, and after like literally a minute, she just walks out off the floor. She's like, yeah, sorry, I can't do this. So I'm like, are you kidding me? So that was,
wow.
That at that point in time, it bruised my ego so bad that I was like, hell bent. All right, that's it. You're not going to tell me, like, I'm going to get better at this. I ended up taking a bunch of classes. It really set my life on something I never thought possible, which is what I'm doing now. You know, teaching ballroom dancing, competing, helping people transform themselves through. So that was really kind of one of the first transformational moments. But with the seven transformations, that kind of started back in 2016, 2017, when I went through a lot of really meaningful multiple experiences in a very short period of time. In ballroom dancing, we learn to speak the language of energy. Everything is about energy and transfer and these kind of dynamic things you see in martial arts, too. And so I was very familiar with that realm. I loved personal growth. I loved going to retreats and learning about the seven chakras and all these types of things. Especially what was really interesting to me was how could I take that knowledge and really develop a high quality, impactful service. You know, for me, in ballroom dancing, everything in every industry, there's always a highest ideal that people operate by. So, you know, you look at something like dancing, and there's different values that can have the person who is teaching. And it's not like one is better than the other, but you've got, you know, beauty. You know, people are motivated by creating beauty or creating some connection. For me, I found that the moments that were the most frustrating were when I could help somebody through a personal obstacle. When they went through something, they could see it through the movement and dancing, and they could apply it to the rest of their life, because that's what happened to me. That's what dance did for me. It helped me learn about life and the universe and partnership. So those are the most important things to me. So I really want to create my own system here, kind of how to identify where is the blockage in somebody. How are they losing power? It's all about power. For me, it's about power to create and creating your life, whether that's on the floor or off it. To me, it's the life. So how could I create something from all the experience that I had? I love personal growth stuff, and mix them into one thing that also involves movement, and to really deliver a high level of service that could really change somebody's life. So that's how that started.
Dude, I love it. Absolutely, dude. Love it. So let's get to know you just a little bit more before we dive fully into this episode of The Seven Transformations. Tudor Alexander is a professional ballroom dancer and personal coach in Phoenix, Arizona. He has been competing in ballroom dancing since 2004 and teaching professionally since 2010. In 2017, Tudor started his personal development podcast, The Seven Transformations, and in 2018 began his own coaching and personal growth business to help spread the lessons he learned from the experiences beyond the dance floor. Tudor uses the structure of ballroom partner dancing to help people explore personal growth concepts and obtain empowering results like confidence, self-expression, strength, and leadership. He also teaches workshops on empowerment, goal planning, personal transformation, and other relevant topics. Alongside Tudor's work as an athlete and teacher, he is also a musician, and he just released his first piano album, Musical Thought, A Journey Through Improvisation. Music and creating are big parts of Tudor's life, and he wants to awaken that joy in others through the work that he does. All of the links are in the show notes. You can go to www.the7transformations.com. Seven is spelled out. You can also look up his latest piano album at Tudor Alexander, which is T-U-D-O-R Alexander, tudoralexander.bandcamp.com/releases. Look him up on Instagram. Look him up on Facebook. The dude is everywhere. Go get the album. Dude, so like piano album, explain that. What's that all about?
Well, I was lucky that, first off, I'm a single. I'm an only child, so I got all the resources and attention. So that was always
But
my mom was a stickler for really opening up my mind when I was little to a lot of different things. I used to paint. I used to take a lot of painting classes. I took piano. I played piano since I was like 8 years old. I started writing music when I was 10 years old. And I mean, it was a huge part of my life, and why this album is so meaningful to me. It's not just another album. You know, for me, it's the completion of a cycle, because actually when I started dancing back in, you know, I was 21, 22, whatever, seriously, I gave up on music. I was in a band. I was like, I, you know, other albums with my friends. It was a huge part of my life. And I literally just stopped playing music. And about 10 years later, which was in 2015 in April, I was over at my parents' house. And I was having lunch with them on a weekend. And literally, you know, the tour of par would just be like, go there, have some lunch, sit at the piano, play a little bit, and then go home. And I sat down and I started playing really into it again. I'm like, what the heck am I doing with my life? Like, I need to be playing music again. I need to have this in my life again. So literally the last year I've I moved my piano in my condo. I started playing again, started writing pieces, and it became a reality to have a piano album, which is something I always wanted to have. So over the course of the last year, there's a resurgence of music in my life. And particularly, you know, this show is a lot about life purpose and your why and things like that. And music has come back into my life in a very clear, purposeful way because I started volunteering. I play the piano at the Mayo Clinic here for the cancer patients, things like that. And I also, I volunteered like to teach some at-risk girls some piano. And it became very clear to me that my music was something that helped people relax, just the way they play. It helped kind of be brooding and think about life, be reflective. All these things were available to me. And I'm like, you know, this is what I need to do. I have 13 pieces in there that I'm really proud of. And I put some like ambient nature sounds in the back of them. They're really cool. Nice. I'm really like to have a physical presentation of my ideas. It's such an accomplishment to feel something real in my hands, you know? So it's cool. I'm proud of it.
Wow. Super cool, man. I've never met anybody that's ever done that before, so it's super awesome.
It took a lot of work, I'll tell you. The piano was the easy part.
Bet.
All the other stuff was dealing with the barcodes and registrations and royalties. And, oh, my God.
Got it. So what is your deep why for everything? You know, you said that you started a podcast in 2017, as did I, and 2018 – you know, I've started my Success Core Mastermind, and you've started the coaching and personal growth business, which is thriving. So what is your deep why for everything that you do?
You know, I love that question, and I will first start off by saying thank you for asking that, because I think anytime we're in a position to articulate our vision to the outside world and share that, it strengthens and finds it. So I think that's really awesome. My vision, you know, on my site, on everything, my business, to create a life you love. And the seven transformations is, I want to write, I've got two books I'm planning to write whenever I can be some time in right now. But basically the whole point is, I believe that we're all here to create. I'm about creation. I love creating. I love the process of creating, bringing things into being. And for me, if I can help people release the obstacles that are blocking them, and we all have predictable obstacles. It's nothing new. You've heard about these things like trust and control and gratitude and all these things.
Yep.
And if I can help people release their creative energy into bringing what they need to bring into this symphony that we call life, this, you know, life is a universe, one long, they can contribute their gifts, find what their place is, in a sense. That is my mission. That's my mission, because that is what I discovered in myself, to have freedom to create, to be in alignment with your gifts, with what you contribute. That is the purpose of life to me. So I help other people uncover that by helping them remove the obstacles being the play to keep them disempowered.
Right.
You know, I talk about empowerment, but it's really just that creative energy flowing through you and being in alignment with your highest good. So that's what drives me.
Very cool. Very, very cool. So what is, we go through a lot, right? I mean, we go through a lot of different changes, transformations and all that. And this is something that you talk a lot about. So what is a transformation that has taken place for you that has really propelled your life forward, that has really put you on the path to exactly what you're doing now?
You know, I love that question too. These are so, so good, because they really get at the heart of the matter. I'll mention two major ones. I think transformation is an ongoing process, and it's always happening, but two very significant areas of my life that have transformed in the last 3 years to help me create the life that I'm living now. The first one was my relationship to control, you know, and control in a lot of different ways. You know, for some people, it's control other people's behavior. Some, it may be controlling what other people think of you, you know, controlling, you know, everything around you. My relationship to control has changed a lot in the last 3 years. You know, we're all driven a little bit by certainty and these types of things. So my ability to let go, to move on, to know when to dial it back, that has significantly changed my ability to listen, to just be patient, to not force an outcome, to not rush ahead, those types of things in my daily transactions as well as other things too. So that's been one, and it took a lot of really significant and painful experiences to realize that the world is not under my control, you know. And, so that was the first one. And the second one, probably yeah. more recently, I would say in the last maybe 6 months or something, it's just been the realization of how much shame and guilt was ruling my life and my relationships, my subservience to other people, to opinions, to just being a people pleaser. I was always obsessed with people not liking me, and if somebody didn't like me, the end of the world, and I had to control and change that opinion. And in the last, like I said, 6 months, an ongoing process, but particularly in the last 6 months, I've been able to articulate specifically the change of these strong emotions and see how they're all these microtransactions where I felt awkward, you know, like I would feel bad or I need to, oh my gosh, I need to do this. Like, oh my gosh, I don't have to feel that way. I don't have to do that. And as soon as I let go of those feelings, my creative energy is freed up and I don't have to, you know, do and be a slave to my own sense of guilt or shame about things mm-hmm. that really don't exist. You know, we just make them up. So those two things have really
yep.
been huge, huge impact on my life. And there's still more to go. You know, I'm not free and clear, and I don't think we ever are, but those have been really big in my life.
Perfect. Love it, man. So how do you use what you've been through and the transformations? How do you use that combined with the ballroom dancing, the structure, to explore the personal growth concepts like you do? I'm just so inspired by that. Like, you take it, you know, we take a lot of our backgrounds, you know, I have a military background and people take their other backgrounds. But how do you, I mean, I'm trying to, like, ballroom dancing, how does that equate, right? Like, outside of that, like, because you have
yeah.
to follow your partner and you got to be one with the partner. Like, I'm cool with that. I would say that ballroom dancing would more be equated with, like, marriage. You know what I mean? Like, if you're stepping the wrong
yeah.
way and, you know what I'm saying? I would love to explore that a little bit more.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's funny because you mentioned marriage. A lot of the couples I've taught, they've all said that this is like marriage counseling, you know, because, you know, it's funny. You get a, you know, if we talk about the marriage thing for a little bit, if I get somebody coming in who has, you know, they're a married couple, whatever, they've been married for 20 years or something, you'd be surprised how little time they actually have spent on a common activity where there is a common outcome they both need to achieve as a team. And it's crazy. And suddenly ballroom dancing forces that situation because there's leading and following, there's cooperation, there's teamwork. You have to relate everything you do to another person. And that in and of itself is very transformative for a couple situation. And I can tell you, every couple I've ever had, it's been the same story. So in a partnership setting, you're absolutely right. I mean, ballroom dancing can be extremely, extremely therapeutic in teaching you relationals, learning how to co-create. I mean, these aren't things unique to ballroom dancing, but ballroom dancing, it's a physical, obvious thing right in front of you that you can experience. It can provide a very powerful experiential learning tool to getting those ideas, especially if, this is where I come in with the lessons, is that that movement, if that experience is layered upon the right language. You know, a lot of these personal growth seminars and things like that I've been to, they're very powerful. They're meaningful. They've made huge changes in my life. But they were mostly based on, say, framing or language like that, and they could have really benefited from movement, just the physical relation to the ground, to gravity, to ourselves, to people. And there's a lot of powerful things there. So where ballroom dancing really shines, specifically ballroom dancing, that's why I put partner dancing in my description, is that you have a lot of dance traditions that, you know, when people hear about dance therapy or things like that, it's mm-hmm. often very like out there, you know, interpretive, and that's good. There's nothing wrong. But it doesn't appeal to a range of people because it's very, very ballroom dancing, on the other hand, is extremely structured. So you have a structure for everybody. There's clearly defined leadership and following roles. There's gender roles in the sense that, you know, what's a feminine way to style your movement versus a masculine. It really helps with a lot of because there's a structure seed from being a very beginner type of person to an advanced situation. So that's in one way that is also transformative. It allows goal play. It allows somebody who never set foot on the floor to create themselves to be a totally different person, to be an athlete, to be a champion at something, show up on the floor and create a superstar show with your partner, you know. So it gives somebody the chance to really overcome a lot of things. I've had students that were doctors who their dreams, I had a student who was a doctor, she's from India, and obviously in India it's like very, very strict about, you know, you got to be doctor or lawyer or whatever, like something that you can provide, you know, God forbid that you become a professional artist or something, that's like shamed upon. So, you know, one of my experiences was that this gal, she had wanted to be a dancer when young, but obviously she was told, no, you have to do this doctor thing. So in her later years, in her 30s, whatever, how old she was, to come back to that and to reach her dream, to be able to create that for herself, you know, that to me, the meaning behind that, so cool. It's so much more important than the dances that she learned, steps she did, or how well she pointed her feet. She could give, I don't care about that. Like, to me, it's all a vehicle toward achieving something greater, like empowerment. So, you know, on the other side of it, too, some of the workshops that I teach, you'd be surprised how, I mean, at least I've been really passionate about this. But there's so many things that you can relate and see through ballroom dancing, because it's ultimately what dancing is two opposite but complementary forces working together to create something for themselves. So if you look at the definition, if you look at that process, that
Love
is
it.
The creative in a nutshell, everything. It doesn't matter if it's art or science or anything else. That is the law of the universe operating. So within that structure, that's why I say dance your way through. Like when people say they come to take a lesson with me or whatever else, you know, workshops, I call it dancing your way through life, because to me, when you dance, you know, there's a famous Alan Watts quote about like life is just a journey, just enjoy it. And it's like, can you imagine can you imagine if the goal of a symphony or a composition was to get to the end? Like, the best composers would be the ones that would play the fastest. You know, it'd be ridiculous. The same with a dance. The goal when you're dancing with somebody, the goal is not to do more turns or to point your feet faster. The goal is to create an experience, to create something greater than yourself with someone else, and to enjoy, to connect these unmeasurable qualities that we all want. When you say dancing your way through life, I see that as dancing your way through a conversation, dancing your way through your business, dancing your way through your marriage. It means you are co-creating. You're in a creative, generative state, and it's an empowered state, creating something with someone else. You're dancing them. It doesn't have to be ballroom dancing, but ballroom dancing through the different types of things you experience in that microcosm that apply to the rest of the you have. Life is a choreography. You know, if I mapped out all your careers on a chart, you would see that it's just a series of steps. You know, it would not be a cha-cha-cha or whatever else we do dancing, but it's a series of steps. It's a sequence. So everything is a choreography, and that's how I understand dancing in life.
Yeah.
So that's how I relate to people. So anyway.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I posted something on social media a couple weeks ago, and I was just now trying to find it. I cannot find it. I said something like, because I was having a conversation with somebody, and he said, he's like, yeah, I was always told that I marched to the beat of my own drum, you know, and all this other stuff, you know. And we're just kind of talking, you know, back and forth or whatever, and it just made me realize, and we were talking, I said, why would you want to march to the beat of a drum when you can just dance? I forgot what I said, but I posted it on social media. It was something like, dance, you know, why march to the beat of a drum when you can dance? When you can dance to your own music or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, and you telling this story just reminded me of why that is so important. Like, why march to the beat of a drum when you can just dance your way through life? Like, you're saying,
right, yeah,
dance your
exactly.
life. Because, like, marching to the beat of a drum just sounds real, like, rigid, right? Like, it sounds real stiff
yeah, yeah.
Like and not enjoyable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
It's
cool,
about.
Man. So is this something that you thought about? Or was it something like, well, maybe I'm going to try this? Or I bet there's a correlation? Or how did that all kind of – like, I'm just curious about what your thought process is. You know what I mean? I'm so interested in how people come up with the ideas and the way
yeah.
that their mind works. You know what I mean? Because some people don't
well,
see
–
like, at first, I didn't see the correlation, but after you explained it, I'm like, yeah, that makes so much sense. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can tell you that this has been floating around in my mind for a long time. You know, I'm even before I started dancing, I was always interested in philosophy, and I had a degree in psychology at ASU, which was my university. So I've always been thinking, I like to learn how things work, I like to... I don't know, study the universe and space. It's just always been in my life path for one reason or another. And when I started dancing back 18, 19, whatever, within a couple of years, I was already seeing parallels between dancing. That stuff just fascinated me. You know, it just fascinated me how dance was very much like life. It was a representation of life because, again, that what I was telling you about two forces creating. So that's been really developed, and I've had a lot of experiences, like I said, in a lot of different areas. I've had outside of like language and personal transformation. I took a bunch of seminars in that. I've been to the totally brainer side of things, like super energy retreat, Reiki, you know, chakras and all that kind of stuff, healing.
Yeah.
I've been to that kind of
yeah.
stuff, you know, so, and I've also obviously been training as a professional. Like, this sport is subjective. It is not a finish line. You cross whoever's first. So there's a subjectivity to the sport. They're set up for all sorts of personal growth lessons on patience and delaying your gratification and a lot of stuff that, I mean, any sport that has a finish line is personal growth endeavor in and of itself if you pursue it on an athletic level. When there's a subjectivity involved, it adds even another variable, you know. So that's in my life past, like last 10, 12 years, and it's really coming fruition now. So I'm really excited I've got, like I said, I'm writing, I've got some workshops I plan to do this year. It's really cool, and I feel like I'm in my prime, and it's starting to really kick up enough. So it's cool. I'm really excited.
Very cool. Very cool. So hitting on the transformation part, right? What do you think has been the best moment of your transformation?
Is it my personal life, or it's in work, in the work with your people?
Oh, okay. So working with the people's made it like amazing.
No, I mean, like, do you hear more?
Oh,
about, like, the
I got
in my own
no,
life
I,
or
anyway.
My other...
No, anyway, like since since 2004, right? Let's go back like 14 years, yeah. Right? Because you've been competitive ballroom dancing since 2004. And through that process, you've become who you are. You know, you got this podcast, you got a, you know, personal growth business. You're doing all these amazing things, but you're not the same person you were back in 2004, right? So in the past 14 years, what are these moments, right, that have made it so amazing, right? Like, what's been, like, the best moment that you can think of and go, oh, man, this happened, and this was amazing?
Yeah. Gosh, there's been so many. I'll share one that I think is pretty cool and valuable. I used to work at a studio in Scottsdale and do every year this Dancing with the Stars kind of benefit fundraiser for one of the organizations here, which actually is a national organization called Florence Crittenden of Arizona. And what they do, they're really cool. They have a place for at-risk girls. They're like, you know, 10 to 14. Or something, and these girls are—I mean, they're coming from a really, really, really bad situation. So they give them a chance to be there for 2-3 months and to basically even going to college, get some sponsorships, kinds of stuff. So it's a really cool place. And we partnered with them, the studio, to do this event called TLC, which is Transforming Love and Connection. So I was very blessed to be part of that event for many times. The first time that we did it, at the time, a couple years ago, I do it. It was like, oh, man, this is getting a lot of time.
Right.
And volunteering. We have to train these girls basically like twice a week. We have to volunteer our time, train them, and then we show them at the end and it's a little dinner. So it's really cool. I mean, you get to see girls who come in the first day and like, they don't even want to talk to you or anything. They have problems touching, especially male, and so then by the end, they're getting in these, rhinestone dresses and smiling and performing. So it's a really cool event. And I got to part of that for several years. So the first time that I did it, my student who was like the most like teacher, she didn't want to be there. She didn't want to do anything with it. So after that whole experience, when I performed with her, and then really like after they perform, like the van comes and they take them. It's a whirlwind. It's really crazy. So it was time to go. She just started crying. Just broke down, and somebody who was not vulnerable a bit finally showed
wow.
their inner child. These kids, I mean, when life hands you so many things, like you can't even imagine for say when they're 14 years old to deal with the kind of stuff that these girls had to deal with. You aren't a child anymore. You have to grow up and you have to create some kind of survival
right.
mechanism and identity to deal with that. And when you see that drop, when you see years of that drop and finally there's that weakness that and it's not like a bad thing, but showing that vulnerability, that was a life changing moment for me. I mean, I was like, wow, this is a good thing. This is where my heart belongs. Like these are the kind of experiences that I want to mm-hmm. be able to create. Dancing is a good vehicle
That's
for
awesome.
That. But so
very cool.
That was
That's what it's
one.
All about, like these moments that are created, right? We sometimes blow right past these moments and we don't even think twice about if we just stopped for a second and enjoyed that and how we felt in mm-hmm. that moment, we can carry that on from moment to moment to moment. Sometimes we're just so focused. Like, when I'm mentoring people, I was like, that's awesome. Like what you just accomplished. Like, that's super cool. Like, I know. Right. And I'm going to do this. Like, whoa. Celebrate this, like enjoy this. Like you have to celebrate and enjoy the good moments because when those bad moments come, that is when people tend to stay there. They plant their mailbox, they plant their address. They say, oh, this is my lot in life. This is where I'm living in despair. When good things happen, we're like, oh, yeah, it's whatever. And we just brush them off. We have an opposite mindset, And so I love that what you're saying is you want to take that, moment, how you felt and what was accomplished in that moment and bring it with you. Yes.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
That's what life is about.
Yep.
It's
absolutely.
It's a series of really cool moments.
Yep. So I don't think it's always sunshine and rainbows, right? I don't think it's bliss, 24/7. So can you name a time that, during the past 14 years, during these transformative years, leading up to the podcast, leading up to everything you're doing, that maybe it wasn't a good time? Maybe you thought of quitting? Maybe you're like, I don't really like ballroom dancing? Or was there a moment in time where you just had second thoughts, you had doubts, it just wasn't a great time in your life?
I can think of a lot of those, actually. I think I'll preface the answer that for anybody listening, if you have not thought about quitting seriously whatever you're doing, you're not trying hard enough, because I really believe that. I think and I've learned to just the problem is that we think of quitting, and then because the thing that's meaningful to us, we don't want to quit, we start getting in this rat spinning wheel of, oh my God, why did I think I want to quit? Maybe I don't want to do this. You start just thinking. It's like, it's normal to quit. It's normal to want to quit. I mean, you know, it's human nature to want to quit anything that's worth your time.
Right.
So just learn to let it go and acknowledge it and move on and stay in action. You know, that's been the biggest thing. I mean, every competition I mentioned earlier that like, you know, this a sport that I'm in, it's very subjective. So naturally, if I go to competition and spend a lot of my money with my partner and we're dancing our hearts off and working our butts off and you don't even make the next round, or, you know, you see people ahead of you that maybe honestly you feel like, hey, what the heck? Like, what's up with that? You know, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but why are these people ahead of me? I don't get that. You know, these kinds of situations, then you have to go back home. That's it. You didn't get any money. You just spent $900 flying to Florida to maybe enjoy your time there an hour or two. It really makes you think, like, why am I doing this? Why am I spending all this money? You know, why am I creating all these things? You know, even with my personal growth stuff and podcasting, there's been so many times I think, like, what do I have to say? Like, what am I capable of? Like, why would people even listen to me? Like, do I really think I know anything? Like, what am I thinking trying to help people? Like, I don't know enough. You know, there's just constant. It's every time, you know. But I think that is inescapable part of our reality, and the only way that you can really handle it is allow it presence in your mind. Allow it presence, right. You know, don't fight it if what you persist. So I just allow it. I allow those thoughts. Okay, you know, that's fine. Move on into action anyway, and action is the cure all for all those kinds of situations, because I still have them today. I mean, you know, it's not something I'll ever get rid of, because time you get comfortable and you're ready to go to the next level, it will inevitably come with a desire to quit, period. Like, it's unescapable. A desire to quit, mm-hmm. and wanting to quit and seriously considering quitting, taking a few steps towards quitting, totally normal,
right.
and unavoidable. The key is don't quit and just keep acting what you need to do,
yep.
and go back to your plan and so on. So,
right.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Right.
Definitely. Yep. Beautifully said.
Yep.
Very cool. So, man, as we're going through, I got to ask, your podcast, the stories that are shared on your podcast, has anyone, like, really resonated? I mean, because we have all these guests, right? And mm-hmm. I've got a couple shows that I'm like jaw dropped sometimes. I'm like, whoa, really? Because you do like the discovery one, you know, like, hey, would you be a good fit? This is what my show's about. What about this? Okay, you're probably a good fit. Cool, got it. You know what I mean? But like, you don't really know until you get into the show. So on your show, talk about your podcast. What's it about? The guests that come on there, how people can listen to it, and just, you know, tell us about something. That's really stuck out, really resonated with what you do.
Well, the podcast, every Friday I release an episode of me interviewing somebody, and the interviews that I've had, I've done about 50 interviews in a like 2 or 3 month window. So I've really crammed a lot of mm-hmm. them, but, pretty much they're on two topics. One of them is on creating a life you love. So I interview everybody from entrepreneurs to artists to people in the science field, doctors even, on how they're creating a life that they love. And that doesn't mean like necessarily you have to be financially independent. It just means that you are in the act. You're not surrendered to life. You are creating and doing the best you can to bring everything you want into that life. You know, so it, like I said, it ranges from a variety of people. And then the other topic is, what is transformation? So I interview people on what they think is transformation, how does it occur to them in their own life, and how did it occur in the work that they do with people. Like, for example, I interviewed an orthodontist, you know, on the transformative impact of, you know, braces and or changing somebody's alignment in their jaw, and how that's a big deal for their social life and their interactions, their speaking. There's so many. I feel that transformation is everywhere. It's all time. It doesn't have to be some big thing on an Oprah episode. It is just a thing that is part of life. We naturally have meaningful change, which is what transformation is. There's things changing all the time, but the things that are meaningful to you are the things you relate to as transformation. So I really want to expand that idea through these interviews so that people everywhere in your life. I mean, when I was looking to pick a category for my podcast, I was, you know, they had a drop-down menu, and I'm like, all right, none of these apply, like lifestyle and blogs, like had self-help. I'm like, I don't want self-help. That's a crummy title. I want, like, transformation. Why don't you have a category for that? Because the word Yeah, exactly. Like, the word is too out there. It's too, you know, dangerous, or I don't know what it is. It's too sexy or something. But, you know, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to make these interviews and kind of really – spread the word that transformation is something you can see in your everyday, whether you're working at McDonald's or you're, you know, in a personal growth business, whatever. So those are the interviews on Fridays. On Mondays, I publish my own episode of just talking about different concepts. I like to talk about basically things that empower you to create a life you love, meaning having to do with like removing obstacles. Sometimes I talk about gratitude. Sometimes I talk about goal planning, time management. I'll take a concept from dancing or learned, or maybe I'll come back from a competition and share about that. So it's a lot of cool little, you know, diverse topics on there. And I mean, as far as the interviews themselves and the experience I've had, it's been amazing. You know, the internet is a testimonial to how connected we are. And even though there's plenty of examples to show that we are getting more disconnected, it was a really cool thing for me when I first started this podcast and had the idea to start interviewing people. I literally just messaged people on my friends list, people that I haven't even talked to. And I'm like, hey, you know, here's what I'm doing. Would love to have you on the show. And through that process, I got to know so many people and to reconnect. Like the other day, I interviewed this girl. We went to elementary school, you know, like ages ago, like 20 something years ago, whatever it was. And she had left in like seventh grade, and I haven't talked to her like literally at all since then. And now I saw that she's into like sound healing. She's a coach. She's coaching women, like finding their voice, like all kinds of really beautiful things. So I interviewed her the other day, and it was crazy how much we had to talk about. Like we were literally on the same page with everything. So, and it was like through Zoom or something. I'm like, man, this is like so cool, you know? So it's been a blast doing this stuff.
Very cool.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it just blows my mind that like you never know, right? Like on this show, my most listened to, downloaded, most talked about episode is a lady. Her name is Stephanie Smart, and the episode title is "The Dragon Mystic." That's what she calls us. She calls herself the Dragon Mystic. We got in like deep. Like we got in deep, real deep conversation about stuff. You know, and it was just, it was so crazy how much, and I was like, oh man, I don't know this is going to go, you know, it could go one way or the other, you know what I mean? But yeah. She was amazing. And I was just blown away. Like, like when you hear Dragon Mystic, you're like, okay, that's some woo-woo stuff. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Most downloaded episode, most listened to, most talked about, most loved episode. And she was absolutely brilliant. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, man, you just never know. Never know.
Yeah, you really
so
don't.
Speaking of people, really speaking of people,
there's
who's your influencers?
You. What's that?
I'm sorry, say it again. Say it again.
I said there's golden gems around you all time. If you just take the time to ask some questions and listen, it's crazy how many people have amazing life stories.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And keeping an open mind at the same time.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely. So speaking of the people that we interview on our shows and that we meet, who's been your influencers? Are you like are you a mainstream Gary Vee and Grant Cardone guy or you know, I would just being jokingly funny here, I would think that you're like an Alfonso guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
you know, just recently, it's funny
Carlton.
You mentioned Gary. I just recently read Crushing It. So that, you know, that's been, you know, that was a good book. You know, I'm going to the Tony Robbins and Gary Vee seminar in November here.
Yep. Very
I thought,
cool.
You know, I like Tony Robbins. He's been some of his stuff, like with the human needs, has been a huge influence in my life and work because it's helped me to understand myself. And also in working with clients, I mean, there's your powerful, you know, triggers that we operate by. So when you learn to communicate, you know, with people in their own particular language, then it's a much more effective way to do anything. So that's been a big part of my life. Gary Vee, like I said, I've read a lot of his books, and it's just so many, man. I mean, you know, like when I was back a couple years ago, I was actually engaged, and the gal I was engaged to was part of this like international, like Korean, like yoga thing, and they're called like Dawn Yoga, and so they were all over the world. But their founder Ilchi Lee, he's like a huge personal growth guy. He wrote a ton of his. I've read like six of his books on just the chakras and energy, and that was a huge influence in what I believe today. I've had mentors who obviously aren't famous, but you know, my old studio that I used to work at, the owner there was a big influence in my life. At ASU, I had a coach that really believed in me. You know, he was a big part of my life that influenced me. And it's all these people that come into your life path one bit at a time that just are just there, you know, for that lesson and whatever else, you know. I still maintain relationships with them, but it's crazy how the timing of everything happened. You know, you really look at timing. That's one thing with everything. I find so interesting, you know, everything is about timing and the sequence of things. And you wonder, had I met these people later or earlier, how would I have turned out? I don't know. It's really, really fascinating.
Right. Absolutely, man. Love it. So what is one of the resources that you've used over the years? You know, if you look at podcasting, there's like here, Blog Talk Radio is what I use for mine. There's Libsyn, Blueberry, Podbean. I mean, there's so much conflicting information, so many different ways to do things. You know, talk about some of the resources that you've used that has made you so successful.
Yeah, I mean, good question. I think I'm continually expanding. You know, branding is actually relatively new to me. I feel that in the last 6 months, I've like almost gone to school again, honestly. Like before January, when I started my podcast, I had no clue about social media. Like I didn't use Instagram. I didn't use Twitter or anything. Like I literally just went on Facebook to maybe post like an idea every now and then. And I had no clue. So in the last 6 months, it's been an amazing crunch of just kind of catching up on all that, learning what is effective. And I think you really important is that there's an immense variety of choices that we're faced with today. And you have to decide what you're doing, and particularly you have to be very clear about why you're doing what you're doing, because if you don't understand why, you're going to spin in circles and spend a lot of money and time on things that you don't need to spend money and time on. So, you know, with me, it's come down now to obviously the podcast through Libsyn. I host it on there. I've looked into other things like Anchor, you know, and Spreaker, hosting services. And I don't know. I mean, Libsyn was pretty much just dependable. They've been around a long time. So I also like their layout. They're very consistent. So it just came down to dependability for me. The other thing I use is Medium. Medium is a place where you write articles. So that's been a good platform for me. Yeah, it's really cool, actually. It's like blogging.
How do you use Medium?
Yeah, you got to check it out. It's, if you like to write, it's a great place because it's a platform, so you write on there. So you write an article, easy to create high-quality content. It's like blogging 2.0. You have your profile on there, people can read your articles. You can even get paid. A lot of people read your stuff. So for me, and I copied those articles on my LinkedIn profile, so that way I'm building my LinkedIn article database. So, so Medium has been really good because it also helped me to write and articulate things that I want to cross-purpose from books and things like that. So that's been a good platform. Instagram obviously is very visual, and it helps to kind of build a brand. I've got some inspirational that I put on there. I'm going to be putting a lot more on there now with my dance partner. We're going to try to Instagram more stuff. So that's more of a visual medium. Facebook, you know, it's basically for group. I do a lot of group stuff on there, like podcast groups and learning, you know, different things. Like if I have a question, it's such a great resource, man, to be able to go on those groups and put a question out there. And literally like within 5-10 minutes, somebody from some random place in the world says, oh yeah, I know the answer to that. So that's like super useful. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, pretty much the main ones. I have some ideas for involvement in like YouTube. Like I want to, this book, the first one I'm writing is Dance Your Way Through Life, How to Win in Business, Love, and Beyond, you know, something like that. So I want to create a book that employs all these principles I'm talking about. And part of the book, I want to have on different pages, like a little, you know, barcode or something you scan, and then go, it takes you to a YouTube video on my YouTube channel of me demonstrating the dance concept with my partner, maybe kind of like a little personal growth video, like a 1 or 2 minute type of thing. So I got definitely a lot. I'm never short on ideas. I'll put it that way. I'm never short on ideas. It's just a matter of being purposeful with what I'm using at what time. I've drawn endless amounts of like thought maps constantly to see the relationship between all the crud that I've got going on, like with all these social media networks, and really being like, okay, what am I using Facebook for? What are the actions that this is doing for me and why? What am I using Instagram for? What is the relationship between these two and that kind of thing? So I think it definitely takes a little planning, especially these days.
Perfect. Man, I love how you put that. I have nothing to say. Amazing. So, what does the rest of 2018 hold for Tudor Alexander? As I'm sitting here listening and I'm just, you know, documenting your you know, your story and everything that you're creating and building, you know, what's left? You know, I mean, like, where do you see the rest
so much,
of your 2018? I know,
there's
right?
So much. There's so
like,
much. I mean, it's just like it's funny you asked me that. I'm glad you asked me that because I literally just like before this interview, I printed off a piece of paper that was like, okay, what are my big goals that I need, that I want done by like September 1st? Like, what are the big ones? And like, for example, I have a fitness competition in July that I've been set out to do for like the last, you know, year and a half. So my buddy and I were going to just do it just for fun and just shred and just get some good pictures and that's it. Call it a day. I'm never going to do that again. And then, you know,
it's like an Ironman or like the competition?
It's like a men's physique competition. It's not like, like, you know, you go there, you, it's not a speedo or anything, but you just pose and you know, get shredded, like super dehydrated and all this stuff.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah. So I got that coming up in July. Finishing up kind of some branding elements with articles and podcasts that I've had to be able to schedule them, you know, in advance. I've got some guided meditations that I want to record in like some class part of this app called Insight Timer where people can go and meditate. And so I publish a lot of my stuff on there. It's a really cool app. If you like to meditate, it's awesome. It's free. Check it out. I'm on there. You've just got a lot of like creative projects too. I've got some workshops that I've planned that I want to be able to get out on the floor, so to speak, this year, so I can just test the water and see how it is.
Yeah.
I've got a phone full of notes that I finally have the time now to just sit and condense back into my book so I can start writing seriously and get some ground on it the rest of this year. Competing, we've got some competitions coming up in the fall. Right now it's a downtime, so I'm really thankful for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to utilize it to kind of just get all my nuts and bolts squared away because there's a lot of big comps in the fall. So, yeah, I mean, there's a ton of stuff always happening. So I'm grateful for it.
Very cool.
I'm grateful for it.
Definitely. Definitely. I like that, that you're talking about the guided meditations and recording and stuff like that. I use the Headspace app. That's what I use.
Headspace,
I personally like that. Yeah, it's been really great. Why the guided meditations? Is that something that you're just like interested in because of the piano, like musical background, or what? Where does that come from?
Yeah, I mean, the meditations. I write and I do a lot of creative writing too. So it kind of emerged as another avenue to contribute my music. I feel that my music. And the music that I like to play and improvise and create is very relaxing. It's very meditative, reflective. It has a healing or spiritual, let's put it this way, end to it. So One day I just kind of got inspired and I'm like, you know what? I'm doing this podcast stuff. Let me narrate one of the things that I wrote. It's like a short little thing about the universe and all that kind of stuff. And I put some piano music on it and people really liked it. I was like, wow, this is really cool. Maybe I can make like a little track for this. So my goal is to have my own kind of little maybe CD or album with that, or at least very much use them in some of the work that if I do a workshop, you know, and we have a time where I want them to reflect, I can play that, you know, and have a kind of a guided experience, you know. So it's definitely an interest of mine. It's, again, combining the gift I have, which is music. I like to talk. I mean, so that's been a positive thing. So.
Dude, I gotta tell you,
so,
man.
Yeah.
Once you get hooked on speaking, dude, it's amazing. Like the feeling that you get is just absolutely incredible.
Absolutely
I love speaking.
Yeah.
So whenever you're ready for that, man, we'll talk about you know, how I can help you do that stuff, man. Maybe lend some experience or whatever. So yeah, man. So this is the point of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug your friends, quotes, website, Facebook, products, whatever you have, your favorite movie. You can give a shout out to whatever you want. This is your moment. Shameless plug. Go.
Nice. Well, the shameless plug is just my website. You can check me out. The7transformations.com. If you're in the Phoenix area and you like what you hear, or you can see the website if you want to get in touch, feel free to let me know. That's pretty much where I'm at. I'm also going to plug my musical album. I am very, very excited to share this. It's in the links on the post for this episode. Musical Thoughts, A Journey Through Improvisation. It's on Bandcamp. If you want, I'm getting some physical CDs. I'm going to be putting up on Bandcamp, right? It's just a digital download. But if you want physical CDs and you heard me on this episode, I can sign it for you. Just contact me on my website and I'll ship it to you. I'll ship a signed copy of the CD to you if you know, just mention this show and I'll do that for you. So
very, very, very cool. Awesome, man. So as we close, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
Wow, that's a good one.
We asked
my
hard
best
questions
nugget
of
knowledge. My best nugget of knowledge is this: that life is a dance, and ultimately you are going to remember something regardless when the music stops playing. Do you want to remember watching other people dance, or do you want to remember taking dances of your own? So, you know, live life to the fullest. Life is short. Life, no matter how old or young you are, time is eternally devouring you every minute. Use your time and decide how you're using your choices for your highest good, because once it's gone regardless. If it's the highest point of your life or the lowest, it doesn't matter. It's constantly changing. So make some great memories. Remember those dances that you had with people, dancing your way through life. Don't be a wallflower and watch other people have the fun. So there you go.
I love that. Holy crap, I love it. Dude, thank you so much for coming on the show. Amazing, amazing stuff that you're doing. And I definitely learned a lot. And I'm always so grateful to have people come on the show and really just go deep and be vulnerable. And that's what you did, man. And I learned that even ballroom dancing, you can equate that to life, you know? And I'm an acronym junkie, love acronym junkies, but I'm also in love with comparison. Oh man, what's it called? Like comparisons, like the, you know, the ballroom to life and like this thing to this thing. Like, you know, love. Yeah, man, love that. Anytime you can, like when you hear a quote, you know what I'm saying? Like you hear a quote and you're like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, and it's different things, but you equate them together. You're like, oh my God, like little similarities. Love it, man. So yeah, man, thank you for coming on the show. Been an absolute honor having you on Life Transformation Radio.
Thank you, man. I'm so grateful to have the platform to share myself and to articulate my vision to other people. I think it's a beautiful thing, and I want to really thank you for giving me that opportunity. So thanks again. It's been awesome.
Yeah, man. You're welcome. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything resonated with you, please, please connect with Tudor Alexander at the7transformations.com. Check out his website. Check out his podcast. He is not hard to find. Check out his piano album. That's his baby. You got to check this out. Put a lot of effort into it. Also, subscribe anywhere that you're comfortable listening to podcasts. If you want to listen to Tudor's podcast, it's everywhere. iTunes, it's everywhere. You can listen to Life Transformation Radio on Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn. Everywhere podcasts are, you can find our podcasts. You can listen to them, download them, share them out. These will change your life. As we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you have deep in your heart, those core values that you believe in. I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.